Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Dallas County program here in the Raccoon Valley Radio Network, brought to you today by Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable. We're joined with our U.S. Congressman for Iowa's 3rd Congressional District, Zach Nunn. This interview was done towards the end part of 2023 and is just now being aired. So we want to thank a lot to the Congressman for being on our program here today.
Hey, Coltrane, good to talk with you and always with your listeners. Appreciate the opportunity. Let's get to it, my friend.
Absolutely. And boy, oh boy, how about this year of 2023? First kind of real look at federal government and how it all works and maybe not work. I mean, you were a part of a lot of big historical things. Tell me about that, first of all.
You know, 12 months on the job, and here we are. I think I voted for Speaker of the House more than anyone in current serving. I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing, but reality is we've got a speaker now, and I think that's really important. The part I'm most happy about is my 12 months on the job. We have really tried to set up a business style that takes care of Iowans. So we opened up 3 new offices, one in Ottumwa, Creston, and a big one in Des Moines. Most of my staff I keep right here in Iowa because that's where we're getting our best recommendations on legislation, and it's also the best place where we're helping Iowans. 1,000 Iowans we've been able to get through their constituency services. We're one of the top in the nation right now for the amount of constituent services that we've been able to get to completion, which I'm going to take as a big win. And then we've also gotten out to every county in the district every 3 months. I'm trying to keep up with Chuck Grassley. I think I'm be almost on par with him. And that's what this job's all about. I got 800,000 bosses here in Iowa. I want to be spending time listening to them and being a fighter for them in D.C., no matter how crazy, corrupt, and sometimes just very foolish folks in Washington can be. We can bring a lot of Iowa common sense to the fight on this. And we've resulted in, some really good successes.
Well, before we get to those successes, let's get back to the part where I know you want you to be advantageous, and you have been in the last month, which we'll get to here in a moment. But when you don't pick a speaker, the thing is at a standstill. And right away at the very beginning of the year,
right,
like 4 days to figure out if Kevin McCarthy wanted to be your guy. Now, I know that you previously had backed him when the first couple of votes came up. And then, you know, he eventually became speaker. But then right after that, spending bill came by, bipartisan spending bill went through in October. McCarthy's then removed as speaker. What was your thoughts? I mean, you backed McCarthy as speaker and now he's ousted. What was your immediate thought about that removal?
And here's been my view from the get-go. I want 2 things out of a speaker. I want somebody who's going to let the members be the leaders of the conference. It's very important. We have 435 members of Congress. They should be the ones driving the legislation, not somebody who is a iron-fisted Speaker of the House, kind of like what Nancy Pelosi had been, that only her bills and her priorities ever got through. We have too diverse of a country to let one person be the deciding vote in what gets through and onto the floor. So a huge part of even McCarthy becoming Speaker was making sure that members got the opportunity to bring bills to the floor, provide amendments on the floor, and that we ran, single issue bills really focused on an item versus just a giant, smorgasbord of ideas shoved into one bill and everybody told they had to vote on it. So I feel that has continued to be important, particularly for all of the Iowa delegation marching out on this. The second aspect I would want of any speaker is that it's a speaker who can bring teams that can be very diverse together. And so keeping the government open, I actually will give McCarthy credit on that. We worked really hard to move appropriation bills forward in a way that hadn't been done in over a decade. And we got about 90% of all federal funding through the appropriations process the way constitutionally it's supposed to be done. There were a couple of folks on both the left and the right that had, I think a greater interest in getting on Sunday morning talk shows than they had on actually showing up for committee work. And unfortunately, that stalled out. And we went into what is truly a historic first. Coltrane was happened to pick a new speaker, and I supported Jim Jordan. I supported Steve Scalise, the guy who literally took a bullet for the country. We went through several other rounds of folks that nobody could agree on, and then we got to Mike Johnson. And I'm happy to say Mike Johnson received overwhelming support, unified support of everyone in the conference. And since that time, we've been able to start moving out on legislation in a pragmatic way like we should be. He was just here in Iowa. He made it a top priority, and I put him in front of farmers, and I said, Speaker, you got to hear from folks. They expected a farm bill. The speaker's battle took precedence, and we now have to get back to doing the basics of making sure that Iowans and everybody in the ag world gets taken care of. And he's listening, and we're moving that forward. So despite a very tumultuous first year, I'm glad to see the end of the year has ended on a high note.
Quickly, a brief comment from you about McCarthy now just stepping away from the entire game. I mean, he's done at the end of the calendar year.
Right. I mean, we had a four-vote majority walking into this year, which is already razor-thin. McCarthy's left. We had another member who took a job. He's done with kind of the entire frustration of it. And then we had a member that, you know, we as Republicans voted to get rid of because he was a certifiable liar and fraudster, and that's in George Santos. I think that was the right thing to do. I stand very firmly by that. I wish the Senate would do the same thing with Senator Menendez, a Democrat who had little gold bars in his pockets from foreign governments. These are guys who need to get out of there. Coming into Washington, I mean, I ran some of the top bills on no more proxy voting. We got rid of people voting absentee. No stock trades. No becoming a lobbyist the moment you walk out the door. McCarthy can't do that now. I think those are really important things. Get rid of some of this circular corruption that happens in Washington, D.C. Not only bringing Iowa common sense to it, but I don't want people living off the taxpayers' dime or making a much bigger C-note based on their influence in government. So holding these guys accountable in both parties has been a huge part of this. And one of the things I'm proud about here is that we're fighting the D.C. corruption every day that we're out there.
Just kind of moving forward now, I understand that, you know, mid-January is the next time that the spending bill that was pushed down the road will be up and possible federal government shutdown, which I know you're not a fan of and you never have been. I have also heard that the House has passed nearly half or pretty close to almost all of its appropriation bills. The Senate actually has less. So I just want to get your thoughts. Do you, first of all, this is a two-part question. First of all, do you think all the appropriations bill will get passed by both chambers before or on that deadline? Secondarily, what are your thoughts as far as the House actually had less time, theoretically, than the Senate has to work on these appropriation bills? And it seems like the House is doing a much quicker job than the Senate is.
Coltrane, you're absolutely right. I think we're down to less than 30% of the appropriations requirements still remaining in the House, which, again, this is a historic high. This hasn't been done in over a decade. I'll be candid on your second question. I can't control what the Senate does. Only the Senate can do that. And clearly, they have not made it a priority on farm bill, on appropriations. And that's a Schumer question, and I hope that he's willing to move forward on this, because what I don't want to see is the situation we run into in the beginning of 2024, where we're talking about shutting down the government again, not paying military troops, closing access for Americans, access for small businesses or Americans who might be trapped overseas. And in this very tumultuous world that we're seeing on the southern border and with international conflict, I don't want us to sleep at the switch. So I'll be committed to where we have been this entire time. Kicking the can down the road on continuing resolutions is not the way to do business. It costs everybody more. The only thing worse than kicking the can down the road is doing nothing and having the government shut down, which costs every taxpayer more. So let's do our jobs. Let's listen to what we are told to do in the Constitution and pass appropriations bills in the way we've been able to do. Yep, the House took a 3-week hit on this with the speaker's election, and that's bad on a group of, I would say, about 8 people. They should be held accountable. But going forward, we've still been able to pass the overwhelming majority of appropriations bills. I need the Senate to come alongside and do their job as well and pass basically any appropriation bill so that we're not in a catastrophe situation come early 2024.
And that's U.S. Congressman Zach Nunn joining us here for part one of our two-part series on Let's Talk Dallas County, presented today by Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable. We'll be right back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.